And the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass that at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I didn't call you. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he answered, "I didn't call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Now we'll go through the rest of this a little later on in the study. But the whole crux of this chapter is that God calls people. And I want to underline the point this morning that God calls all of us to do something. We are all the body of Christ. And all of us have different functions in different places in the body of Christ. We have a wrong thinking when it comes to ministry. We think that because the guy up there on in the front is called the minister, that he's the one that God calls to do things, but not us. That's wrong thinking. God calls everyone of the people in his body to a calling of some kind. All of us are called to ministry of some sort. In fact, I heard an interesting statistic this week. They did a national survey to different people, different Christians, church people throughout the United States. And they wanted to find out what they expected their minister to do. How much time should he spend in the pulpit? How much time should he spend studying? How much time should he spend visiting? How much time should he spend in administration, in this and that? And they figured that the average churchgoer expects his pastor to put in 135.5 hours a week, which would leave 30 hours left to himself, which if he spent all of those 30 hours in sleep alone, that would give him 4 hours of sleep per night. Well, the truth is that God calls all of us to minister. It's not one person who has a title. It's the entire body of Christ, and God gives us gifts. God wants to use us. Now, we often use the term being used by God. God wants to use you. What do we mean when we say being used of God? Simply this, is that God has a job to do, building up his kingdom. And he gets men and women to do it. He gets people like you and me to do the job on earth that he wants to do through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's often hilarious at times to see who God chooses to do that kind of work. The kind of people, well, look at all of us. Honestly, the kind of people out of all the people in the world that God chooses, it's wonderful. It's a blast sometimes to watch. And yet God has called all of us. The exciting thing is that God lets us help him. God lets us get involved in his work when he calls us to something. I don't know if you remember this, but I remember as a little kid, my dad would go out in the garage. And on Saturdays and so forth, Sundays, he'd do a lot of work on the cars and around the house. And I got to an age where I just had to help him. I wanted to be around him and help him, even if it meant holding the wrench. Or holding the can. I just sit out there and I'd hold the wrench. And I said, "This is great." But he let me be involved. I think every Christian I've met without exception gets saved, but he arrives at a point where he wants to help God do something. Even if it means holding the wrench. The exciting thing is that God lets us be involved in His work. He calls us to be involved in His work of spreading the gospel and expanding the kingdom. And sometimes it might be this work or that work, or it could be just holding the wrench for Him. But He lets us do it. And honestly, sometimes I feel like that as I see God work around here. I feel like I'm on the sideline just holding the wrench, watching God do the work, and I'm going, "Go, God, this is great." Because I see Him doing it. I get to be involved in it, but He's the one doing the work. It's exciting to watch. The place that we're reading concerning Samuel was a new experience in his life. He loved God. He was in the tabernacle of God ministering. He was going and having the fellowship. But there came a point in his life where God was doing something different. God was calling him to be a representative as a prophet and as a judge. You may be a businessman, you may be a factory worker, you might be a husband or a wife or a student or whatever God has you doing, God is calling you or has called you to perform some task for Him. Now, as we look through this story today, I want to point out seven things concerning God's calling. Seven things that you might note, and they're in your outline as well. First of all, God calls at times of great need. It says in verse 1, the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, when his eyes had begun to grow dim so that he couldn't see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying to sleep, that God called Samuel. The point at which God called Samuel was a low point in the history of Israel. This is the end of the time of the judges. The Philistines were oppressing the Israelites. Religious scandal was widespread, even in the ministry. Now, it mentions Eli here. If you have read the first four chapters, you have read about Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas. They were creeps. There was religious scandal. They did not love God. They had turned away from God. It was a low point in their history. Now it says in verse 1, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. A better translation would be this. A message from God was considered rare treasure in those days. Or another translation says, God seldom spoke in those days. God wasn't doing much speaking during this time, primarily because He didn't have anybody to speak to. No one was listening. The prophets were on strike. No one was graduating from prophet school anymore. No one was listening to God. I don't think that God was unwilling to speak as much as people were unwilling to listen. In fact, I'm convinced that God wants to speak to His people. God wants to give direction to His people. God wants to guide His people. But our problem is so many times we're not listening. We're listening to everything else. We have our eye gates completely filled with seeing other things, and our ear gates completely filled with hearing other things, and we don't have time to sit and just listen as God would speak to us through His Word, or as God would give us ideas and impulses in our hearts. So it was a rare treasure in those days. God wasn't speaking very frequently. What's amazing is that even in our day, now we've got Bible bookstores, we've got Christian study guides, we have Christian radio and Christian television. I can't count how many study Bibles are coming out every year. And yet, with all of that, there's still tremendous need, and people still aren't listening. Look at verse 3. It says, before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, while Samuel was lying down to sleep. It's an important verse. Because it was the duty of the priest who ministered in the tabernacle, namely Eli, to make sure that the lamp never ever went out. It was to burn continually before the Lord from generation to generation. They were to make sure that it was trimmed, there was oil in the lamp, in that seven-branch candlestick in the tabernacle. The fact that the lamp was going out is a fact of the backslidden condition of the priesthood. You say, yeah, but you know, Eli was an old man. He couldn't see all those things. His eyes were dim. Yes, but he had sons who were in the priestly family who were priests. But look over at chapter 2, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were corrupt. They did not know the Lord. Goes through a little thing of what they did. Look at verse 17. Therefore the sin of the young men, these two young priests, was very great before the Lord, for the men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Desperate times. God called Samuel. The priesthood was waning, the Philistines were oppressing, and yet God called this young little guy to minister to him, to be a prophet to the nations. It is often at those desperate times that God calls us to do something. It's when things get so low that God puts his message on the heart of a messenger. Perhaps you. We are in desperate times today. More people in the world haven't heard the gospel than ever before. 2.7 billion people are without the knowledge of the gospel. Not only overseas is there desperate need, in this country people don't know the Lord. They haven't heard the true gospel. In this own country, we're in desperate need. People are hungry for God, but they don't know where to turn. Religion has been a flop, by and large, in this country. Denominational churches are losing people by the droves, they are telling us. No one's showing up anymore. They're losing people. In fact, there was a poll, a Gallup poll, that was taken among the people who don't go to church. And they wanted to determine why aren't people being involved in church anymore. And the statistics came back that 49% of these unchurched people said they're not involved in church primarily because the churches are not helping people find true meaning in life. 49%. 56% said that the churches are too concerned with their organizational issues rather than spiritual issues. Now, I found it interesting that even unbelievers were telling the churches to preach the gospel. Unsaved people were saying, we want to hear the gospel. Nobody's preaching it. Now, when you get a time so desperate like that, when a real messenger of God comes along to preach the gospel, it's a rare treasure. It was a rare treasure for God to speak in those days, and he raises up Samuel to do it. The second thing about God's calling is that God's call can come at any age. Notice verse 1. Then the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Meaning that he was a young man, most people think between 15 and 17 years of age, God called him into full-time ministry. God's call was upon him at a young age. Now, I think when we picture prophets, people used by God, we have this mental image of them. See if your mental image was like mine. Gray, long hair, a long beard, an intense look with, you know, creases in the forehead, white robe, brown sandals, staff, right? I always have grown up thinking that they all looked like that, and they had to be over 70 for God to use them. Now, I don't know if your image was as distorted as mine, but I grew up thinking that all people used by God had these little round things above their head, like frisbees. It's because all the pictures I had looked like that. And I really did think that they looked like that. They wore this funny kind of a hat. You know, some of them were bigger than others, and I'm thinking, how could they fit through the door with those big things on their head? Sometimes we have trouble thinking that God can call someone who's young or someone who is very old. God's call can come at any age. Not only Samuel, Jeremiah. God said, Jeremiah, I'm calling you to be a prophet among the nations. Jeremiah goes, God, I'm just a kid. God says, don't say you're just a kid. I'm calling you. Paul spoke to Timothy and he said, Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. He was young. Daniel was young when God chose him. God's call can come at any age. Now, I say any age, not meaning just young people. God can call old people. He called Moses when he was 80. And he really used him. Caleb was called as a mighty warrior when he was 85. Yes, he did it when he was younger. But at 85, God called him to do a whole new work. So God's call can come at any age. But oftentimes, God will call very young people. Because it is at a time where they're searching. They're looking for meaning. They're open to many things, and God will use them and speak to them. Billy Graham said that he has noticed over the years that it is mostly the young people. In fact, he said most conversions occur in the teenage years or slightly after. There were some statistics that came out. Don't know the accuracy or exactly how they arrived at them, but they tried to figure out the odds of a person accepting the Lord based on his age, his ability to be open to certain things, how set he is in his ways. And the statistics came back saying that the odds of a person who's 25 years of age to accept the Lord is 1 in 5,000. If you go 10 years later, 35 years of age, the odds of that person accepting the Lord is 1 in 25,000. You go still a little further to age 45, the odds of a 45-year-old accepting the Lord was 1 in 60,000. The odds of a 55-year-old turning to the Lord was 1 in 125,000. The statistics said the chances of someone who is 65 is like 1 in 500,000. And it says, if you're 75, it's a miracle. God often does speak to those who are young and calls them. There's a lot of energy involved there. A person can be used mightily of God. Samuel was just a young kid when God called him to the ministry. Just out of curiosity, a show of hands. How many people in this room accepted the Lord after they were 25? Raise up your hands. Okay. How many people received the Lord before they were 25? Raise up your hands. Quite a difference. God often speaks to people who are young, but it could be at any age. Now, if this is so, that God calls many young people, the target of our evangelism should often be to the young, I think. Not that we should neglect the others, but the target should be to the young. We have a group in the church that meets every time there's a secular concert in town. They go to the concert and they just sort of, you know, like flies. They just sort of swarm into the secular concert, pass out tracts, share the gospel, meet with people before and after. And we're seeing fruit. I want to challenge, because this is a very young church. A lot of young people come here. I want to challenge you young people. You could be God's spokesman tomorrow. You've got all this energy that's represented in this church. I want to challenge you to be open to God's call. Don't think, well, I'm busy right now. I'm really getting a career going. I have other things on my mind. Be open to the call of God no matter what age you are. And if you're older, be open to the call of God now, like Moses was. Next, we notice about the call of God is that God calls those who are already involved and available. Look at verse 4. The Lord called Samuel and he said, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said again, "I didn't call you, lie down again." And he went and he laid down. Samuel was already involved in the tabernacle doing something. He was serving Eli. He was ready to get up to his feet and serve him any time, day or night. He was already involved with it. He was already having daily contact with God. He already had a relationship established with God. Look at chapter 2 and over at verse 11. Notice these phrases. Elkanah, that is Sam's dad, went to his house at Ramah, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. Look at verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child wearing a linen ephod. Verse 26. And the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and men. Chapter 3, verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. In verse 3, we see Samuel sleeping there in the precincts of the tabernacle itself. He was already doing something. Now, although he did not really know God speaking to him, it says in verse 7, Samuel did not know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord revealed to him. In other words, he was not knowledgeable of how God communicates to man. And that's what that verse means. He didn't know that God would speak and call him. He hadn't gotten used to that idea yet. But still, he was already serving God in some capacity. He was available to God by becoming involved. Now, when I speak about being available, I consider being available being involved. I don't consider being available kicking back and go, well, God, here I am, man. If you need me, here's my number. But someone who's already active in serving God in some capacity, that is availability. Many people, man, they want God's direction. Oh, God, show me what you want me to do. And they're frustrated, they're floundering, but they're not active doing anything involved in other people's lives or ministering to one another, or ministering to the Lord. Remember what it says in Acts chapter 13? As they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I've called them. They were busy. The wheels were already turning. So it was in Samuel's life. He was busy working. He was busy serving the Lord. I want to encourage all of us to become involved in each other's lives as a church. Maybe more than we are. Get the wheels moving. You can't just sit back and go, well, I'm just going to trust that the Lord will supernaturally speak to the elders of the church to approach me if they want me to do something. That's not the way it is at all. There's no way we can supernaturally get everybody's number and name going. It's spontaneous involvement as it was in the early church in Acts chapter 1, 2, and 3. Samuel was involved, and notice that he was satisfied in doing anything. He was satisfied waiting on this old man named Eli. He was satisfied getting up in the middle of the night and ministering to him, just getting involved in something. Remember a parable Jesus gave? I think it was Matthew 25. He said that a man was going on a journey, and he gave to his, called his servants together, and he gave to one 5 talents, one to 2 talents, another 1 talent. And he said, okay, I'm going to split, and I want you to take these. I want you to invest according to your ability. When I come back, I can receive some more. He came back. The one with 5 talents says, look, I've gained 5 more talents. I've gained interest. Great. The one that had 2 talents said, look, I've gained 2 more talents. He said, great. 2 of them were commended. 1 of them was condemned because 1 was slothful and indifferent. That didn't matter. I kept it. Here it is. I'm not doing anything with it, but I got it. But he was slothful and indifferent. Listen to what Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke. And here's a principle. He who is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. But it goes on to say, he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much. Good, important principle. He calls those who are already involved, those who are available, as he was with Samuel. God has given all of us gifts. Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? I'm not saying, well, yeah, I'm a plumber. I'm saying spiritual gifts. God calls us to different occupations, but do you know what your spiritual gifts in the body? It is your responsibility to know your gifts and to develop your gifts in the body of Christ and to get involved, not to just be spectators. I know we say that quite a bit, but it's important that we are participants in the body, not just spectators. We don't want to just create an audience where people come to watch and then leave, but participants with one another in the ministry, getting involved already. Next, we see that the call of God can come in a very natural kind of a way. It says in verse 5, so he ran to Eli and he said, here I am, you called me. And he said, I didn't call you, lie down again. And he went and he lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he answered, I didn't call you, go lie down again. Again, what really strikes me is this guy is so ready to serve Eli. being woken out of a dead sleep three times, he says, "What can I do for you?" And that's admirable. You know, some people turn into different people when you wake them out of a dead sleep. Right? Try going in the living room, husbands or wives, one evening. And say, "Hey, honey, come here." And so, "What do you want?" "Oh, nothing. I didn't call you. Go back to bed." Do it three times. See if he or she will go, "What can I do for you, honey?" She'll say, "Sick 'em." This guy was patient. And I just noticed that this week. I never noticed how ready and available he was to do anything to help this old man out. He didn't gripe, didn't complain, didn't lose his temper saying, "Oh, that old man, he's always calling me." He just said, "What is it? What can I do for you?" He was up on his feet right away. But what I want you to notice is that the voice that he heard in the night was God's voice. But he mistook God's voice and he thought it was Eli's voice. He thought it was the voice of a man. Now, in verse 8, it says, "The Lord called to Samuel again the third time. And he arose and he went to Eli and he said, 'Here I am, for you did call me.' And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.' So Samuel went and he lay down in his place." Now, it says that he laid down. It didn't say he went to sleep. And I'll bet he didn't. And what's this? Is the Lord speaking. But he was mistaking the call of God for the voice of a human being. And that mistake, I think, is made more often than you and I think. God often speaks to us in ways that we don't think that's God's voice speaking. I mean, my wife has told me that. How could that be God? Well, it could. You see, we hear these glowing testimonies of people. "And there I was on the mountain and God spoke to me and it was a voice and lightning and thunder." And go, "Yeah, okay, that's how God speaks." I'm not denying that God can audibly speak to a person or supernaturally move a person, but don't limit God to that. And I'll admit there's been very few times in my own life where I really knew that God spoke to me. And it was usually when I did something dumb and wrong. When I came to Albuquerque, I didn't hear a voice to say, "Go to New Mexico." Yes. I felt like it was something I wanted to do. I felt like it was a good idea. I prayed about it. I asked for wisdom and I did it. When I was getting married, I didn't hear a voice that says, "Mary Lenya." Now, her dad did call me on the phone, suggested that I do it, but maybe that was the Lord. We need to watch for God's voice when it comes to us clothed in a familiar form. God can lay an idea on your heart or an impulse on your heart. God can speak to you in lots of ways. It can be in a very natural kind of a way. When God called Paul at one point in his ministry to go somewhere else, Paul was already determined to go one way and he just decided to go another way. God gave him the wisdom. He didn't see a vision. He didn't have a dream. He wasn't an earthquake, although God spoke at miraculous times in the past. He just decided to do it, and it was God's will. It was very natural. It was very flowing kind of a thing. So God can implant those desires within you. A lot of times we're looking for the supernatural. We want to lay a fleece out before the Lord. "God, if you want me to do this, then prove it by this. Or show up here and do this." And we fail to realize that we have a built-in navigational system called the Holy Spirit who leads us. Not like in the Old Testament. He's living within us. He will personally guide you into different things. That's the best navigational system yet. God can speak in a very natural way. The next thing we notice, the fifth thing, is that when God calls, it requires willingness. For he says in verse 10, "The Lord came and stood and he called, as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel answered, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" Now, he did this on Samuel's recommendation. He says, "Look, I think God's speaking to you, Sam. When he comes this time, it wasn't me. What you got to do is you got to sit up and you got to respond to God. You got to be willing. You have to say, Lord, speak. I'm listening. I want to hear. The word speak for your servant hears. The word hear means to listen with interest. It could be translated obey, literally. Speak, Lord. I am ready to obey. I am willing to act. When God calls us, He requires willingness on our part. That we won't say, well, maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't. When we feel God is leading us into a direction, we must be willing and we must be obedient immediately. For your servant hears. Now, God spoke to Sam 3 times. But what's interesting to me, He called him 3 times, but He did not reveal His will unto him until He said, speak, for your servant hears. He didn't just speak and say, do this. It was only when he was willing and responsive. That's interesting. The person that God can use is the person who is willing to obey. And it is only when we are willing to obey that God will then reveal his will. You know, so many people are looking and they say, I just want to do whatever God wants me to do. I just want to serve the Lord in any capacity. But in the back of their minds they're saying, but God, tell me what it is first before I agree to it, okay? I want to make sure it's something that I agree on doing. Otherwise, I don't know if I want to play this game. I'll take my marbles and go home. And many times, our prayers are like that. We're trying to convince God of our will instead of just being open to His will. Speak, Lord, for your servant is obedient. He's listening with interest. He is now ready to obey. Speak, for your servant hears. Romans chapter 12 says that we should present our bodies unto God, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. We should present ourselves to God. Willingness God wants. On June 13th, 1981, I publicly asked my wife, Lenya May Farley, to be my wife. Now, fortunately, she agreed. There was a little hesitancy, but she agreed. She was willing, right? Okay. Now, I could have held a ring in one hand and a gun in the other hand and said, will you marry me? But love always wants willing response. When God calls, He always wants willing response. You know why? Because when we serve God, He wants us to do it out of joy. Not, oh, well, I've got to do it. But Lord, I really want to do what you want me to do. I want to serve you out of joy. I'm presenting myself before you willingly. Speak, your servant is ready to do something, is ready to obey. I love what David said in Psalm 27. David, when he was praying, said, and when the Lord said to me, seek my face, my heart said, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Immediate response. Willingness. I'm ready to seek your face because the Lord said so. The next thing we notice about God's will, the sixth point, is that when God calls us, oftentimes God's calling requires giving a painful message, something that's not always easy to share. In verse 11, the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or by offering forever. So Samuel lay down until morning, and he probably didn't get any sleep. And he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. And Eli called Samuel, and he said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here I am. He was used to doing that by now. And he said, what is the thing which the Lord has said to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more if you hide anything from me of all the things that he has said to you. And so Samuel told him everything. He hid nothing. And he said, it is the Lord. let him do what seems good to him. Now, this was tough because Eli was the high priest. He was the big cheese in the tabernacle. And the message that God gave to Samuel was one of condemnation on the house of the high priest. It was his first test as a prophet. The test was, is Samuel going to share everything that God said, or is he going to compromise a little bit? Say, well, God sort of spoke to me about this and this. But the message that he had to deliver was a painful, tough kind of a message. And I want you to notice in verse 15 that he was afraid. You know, oftentimes God will call us to give a tough message. It is not always easy to share the gospel with people. Because to some people, the good news is bad news if they don't want to repent. Sometimes we are called to share a tough, painful message with people. What is our reaction? Oh, we don't want to do that. We don't want to offend anybody. Now, I'm not saying you be obnoxious with people. Say, turn or burn. You know, fly or fry. You can be obnoxious when you share. But sometimes God calls us to share something that is not so palatable to people, as we are called to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. I'll never forget, I was working at a hospital in Orange County, California, and there was a couple of people working at the front desk in the radiology department, and I felt so compelled by the Lord to share the gospel with them. But I knew some of, especially this one girl, her background, she was very religious, very educated, and she believed that she was saved, and she wasn't born again. So I knew how it was going to turn out. I got to tell this person that she is a sinner in need of Jesus Christ, that if she really doesn't turn to him, what the consequences are, however God has eternal life for her. So I tried to spruce it up in some kind of a nice way that would be palatable. She just yelled at me as soon as I shared with her. It was a painful time. Yet God called me to share the truth with her. She did end up accepting the Lord. But sometimes it's tough. I remember having to give a Bible study one time for a group of people. I was called in to do this study, who were very obstinate and angry at their pastor, their leader. And God gave me a tough, stern message to share that night. And I'm driving up, it's an hour drive, and I'm thinking, what am I doing? I don't want to share this. They might get mad at me. They might yell at me. They might beat me or something. And I was scared to share the message. And I was reading the book of Psalms while I was driving. Just glancing, of course. I wasn't just gazing. But I came across a psalm. I was driving my car and I came across a psalm. And the psalm said, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And God spoke to me through that by just sharing with me, don't worry about the living in the land of the living. Walk before the Lord. Don't worry about the reaction of the people of the living. Walk before the Lord in the land of the living. So I said, okay, I'm going to share it. And God made good out of it. It's not always easy. And I'm really glad that verse 15 is in there, because it says Samuel was afraid to tell Eli these things. I appreciate that verse. It shows me that he's human. Do you ever feel afraid when God tells you to share something? When God tells you to publicly speak to people? You're at a place and you know the Holy Spirit's nudging you. Say something and you try to ignore it. And your heart starts pounding, right? You think everyone can hear your heart in the supermarket. And they're saying, quiet. And the Holy Spirit says, tell them. And finally you tell them. And at first your voice sort of quivers. Can I share good news with you? And you know, I think the hardest part of sharing our faith verbally is the first few words. The first sentence. But you know, as soon as you take that step and God shows up, and it starts flowing, and then you can't shut up. It's like shaking a Coke bottle, you know, once it goes, you can't, it's hard to stop it. But it's taking that first step, even though it's a little bit afraid sometimes, the Holy Spirit says, tell him, share it with him. But I want you to notice too that God opened a door for him to share. For Samuel said, or Eli said, now you tell me everything God told you. If he doesn't, then everything that God is, you know, if there's a curse on me, it's going to be on you. Oh, okay, here goes. You asked for it, but God opened the door for him to share. It wasn't easy. When God called Jeremiah to share, it wasn't easy. When God called Jonah, Jonah didn't even want to go to Nineveh. He says, go to Nineveh and tell that wicked city that I'm going to come upon them in judgment in 40 days. Not easy sometimes. God's call may require a painful message. And finally, in closing, when God calls us, His calling always assures fellowship and fruitfulness. It says in verse 19, so Samuel grew and the Lord was with him. And let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Dan was the uttermost top of the country. Beersheba was the southern city. It was like saying from Maine to California, he was established as a prophet. And the Lord appeared, verse 21, again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. When God calls us to something, he's going to be with us. One person has said, the grace of God will never lead you, or the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. If God's leading you, God will be with you, and he will make fruitful what he's called you to do. There will be evidence. People will be touched. You will have joy in sharing what you're sharing. You will have joy in doing what you're doing, and you'll see results. God will make the results. God established here Samuel as a prophet. Go in the name of the Lord, do what he's called you to do, and God will be with you. Remember what Jesus shared? He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. And he said, lo, I am with you. How long? Always, even to the end of the age. Go, but I'll be with you as you go. I always share that with missionaries. I always share, now the Lord told us to go. He never said anything about coming back. Go into all the world. But if you go, even if it's a tough place, God will make good what he's called you to do. God will bring results. He was established as a prophet before the people. You know, he didn't have to push for this. He didn't have to strive and say, I want to do this. I'm going to push for it. I'm going to work hard to be a good prophet. God raised him up. He was faithful in the small things. God raised him up. And God brought fruit out of his life. God told Moses, Moses, go up from here and my presence will go with you. And Moses' response was such a beautiful one. He goes, Lord, if your presence does not go, then I'm not going to go. God promised his presence, his fellowship, and his fruitfulness. There was a man, I don't know exactly when this was, 1800s, David Livingstone, Scottish missionary and explorer. He went down to South Africa. While he was down there, and he went into places that no one else would go, dangerous, difficult places. While he was down there, a group of people wrote to him, and he said, Dear Dr. Livingstone, have you found any roads down to where you are so that people can get in and out? Because if you have, we have a whole group of people who want to come and join you so they can help you in your endeavor. And Dr. Livingstone wrote back and he said, if you have men who only want to come if there's a good road, I don't want them. I want men who will come if there's no road at all. I want people who are willing, even if it's difficult to do. God calls people who are involved, who are available. At any age, his calling may involve something difficult. But he always promises fruitfulness and his fellowship. Father, we're so thankful that when you call, you provide. You give us all the tools that are necessary to do your job. Lord, you just require a willing attitude, a willing heart. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to everyone in this room. Just there's different levels at which you're speaking to people. Some people who really aren't willing to be used or to be called. Some people think they're too young or they're too old. Some people who just aren't willing to bear a painful message. Lord, just deliver each portion to each person this morning. Lord, help us to search our hearts to see if we're available first. See if we're willing to be involved and used. And Father, as you're calling also to people who may really never know you, they've never really made a commitment to you. I pray that you'd call them first to salvation and show them that first they must make peace with God before anything else happens. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just now start speaking to people's hearts around this room, people who don't know you. Call to their hearts, Lord, and have them respond willingly. And as we're in an attitude of prayer, there are some of you today who God is calling to be, first of all, Christians. You're not born again today. Before God calls you to anything else, God is calling you home. God is calling you to a relationship with Him. If God is speaking to your heart now, and you desire to respond to God's calling in your heart for coming to know Him through salvation, I want you to raise up your hand in the air, saying, pray for me. I want to know the Lord this morning. I want to know the person that you're speaking about. Raise up your hand high. God bless you in the back. Anyone else? Raise up your hand. Don't be afraid. Raise it up and keep it up. As God is calling you. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? God bless you. A couple of you in the back. If God is speaking to you, yeah, keep your hand up. Raise it up. Don't be afraid. God loves you. He won't bite. Anyone else? God bless you. Father, we thank you that you're making inroads in people's hearts this morning. Not only those who are raising their hands, but those of us, Lord, who are serving you already. Lord, as you give them a willing heart, fill them with your Holy Spirit. Give them the awareness that you'll never leave or forsake them. In Jesus' name, amen.